Hey, welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. This is your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. I just want to say thank you so much for joining me today on a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as we explore the transformative power of stepping into greatness. I really want to inspire you to come into alignment with the gifts that God has given you. I want you to unleash that power in your soul and learn to co-create a life you love. And as you become the writer of your own destiny in this podcast, that's where you're going to find the inspiration. You're going to get practical tips and that sometimes abrasive nudge to take the leap of faith towards your big ass dreams. You are in the right place. Buckle up so we can unleash your inner badass. What's up, you guys? Brandon Linette here. It is Microdose Monday. I'm so excited. We're going to get a little sciencey on today's podcast. I'm really still, and I understand it, I'm still finding some resistance, okay, when it comes to the power of what microdosing psilocybin can do for you. I get it. The minute we start talking about magic mushrooms, people's defenses are up, okay, because it has this, negative connotation with it. Like it's the party drug. Your parents and grandparents were tripping in the 60s. I mean, if you're old enough, did I just give away my age? Of course I did, because I don't give a shit. But it was a party drug, and a lot of people had a bad experience. I know, Hero's Dose, that's when you're taking a big amount of microdosing. Even my husband, we're talking about this last night. He's done it and he hated it. Like, he did not have a good time anytime he's tried it. It's a very overwhelming experience, but I want to bring you guys into this awareness and the knowledge and the power of we're growing up now. We're waking up. Okay. We're not trying to take drugs to get fucked up anymore. And I get that. I've got a lot of people who value their sobriety, people that are not, drinking alcohol anymore. Cheers to us, motherfuckers. People that are, that were once addicted to drugs who have been clean and sober, and you're fighting for that sobriety. And I'm here to tell you guys, you're not getting fucked up on this. Okay. It's like you don't even feel it when you are microdosing. It's like there is no effect. It's not messing with your body. You're not getting a body high. You're not getting buzzed. You're not going to feel anything. Okay. The Hero's Dose, that's another story I've never experienced. I mean, I did when I was a kid, and I can't tell you. Like, I've blocked all of that out. But it was just one of those times where I was just trying to get fucked up, right? So I don't even remember, but I could tell you who I am today. I, at this moment in my life, would not take enough shrooms to trip balls. I wouldn't do it. Not comfortable. I don't even care if I had a guide. And I think it's very unnecessary because I have really on my own worked on my healing. I am able to face my triggers without freaking out. And, kind of the conversation I was having with my husband last night, you guys know I only see him 2 days a week, right? Okay. So that's where we're at. Is our Sunday night check-in. And I'm explaining how triggers are coming up for me. The thoughts still come to me, okay? Like the raging, crazy ass off the wall thoughts, they come to me, but it doesn't, I don't become them, right? I don't reel on it and I don't burn shit down. That's what I've always done is like the minute I have a bad thought, I start telling that story that goes with it. And then I start embellishing the story in my own mind. And then I ruminate on that story. And then I'm fucked. Like my fight or flight system is kicked in and I've always been a runner, okay? Flight is my shit. Okay. When it comes to emotional shit, that's flight has always been my thing. We want to avoid the tough shit. And so I didn't have any part of me that wanted to run. I just sat with all of those emotions. Like I had a really shitty week. Like shitty week. And it, it's life. Okay. It doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing, what's going on in your world. And I think this is why we see so many people like celebrities who have the money, who have the fame, and they're still killing themselves. Okay. I just want to say that I think we have this expectation that all of this shit outside of us is going to make us feel really great. And when it doesn't, we are so fucking lost that there is no point of return. There's no point of return because we just had this expectation that once all this shit is together, we'll never suffer again. And that's not true. Like, life is all about being in the arena and growing through the bullshit. That's it, growing through the bullshit. And I know it's been over 2 months since, you know, we had a big change in our house. And like, I'm super, you guys, I'm joking about this. I said I was going to say it today. You know, my husband loves his job. He's super happy. All the years I've known him, and we have an anniversary coming up. I forgot how long it's been, but it's been a really long time. Okay. I've never seen him happy to go to work ever. Like, he was fucking miserable. And, you know, he used to drown his sorrows. I mean, literally drinking all the time, doesn't do that anymore. Like, he's not escaping from his life. He's happy. So is it the job, or is it the fact he doesn't see me 5 days a week? I don't think he'll ever tell us the truth about that. Okay. But he's really happy, and I love that for him. But in the same sense, I'm still experiencing my own stuff. And like, this is a man that has sacrificed everything for me to always get to do what I want. And now all of a sudden, it's not, you know, that's not my life right now, is, you know, some of that freedom. And I've always been this like free spirit. I freak out when it comes to cages, you know, I don't know. And I guess I built this cage mentally around me all of a sudden when my freedom was gone, because we have babies, and my husband's schedule is that the kind of schedule where I'm here, and you know, they need a parent, and we're not number one. Even if we did have family here, if my Colorado family was here and we had support, I wouldn't be leaving my kids, you know, 3 or 4 nights a week to be with someone else. That's not why I had kids. Like, I've seen a change in my girls now that I've been a full-time parent. There's a huge change, especially in my 9-year-old, you guys. So I know being here 100% is so much better for the family, but we all know like parenting is the most unrewarding job, okay, for a long time. Like, I see the reward like when we're all older and I'm hanging out with my grandkids. Yeah, like, it's going to be great. But right now, I'm public enemy number one, okay? I'm the punching bag for everybody. And it fucking sucks. Like, I feel like every time I turn around, here's like this, you know, you're a shit parent. And it's like little comments, little remarks. And then sometimes it's really just one of the kids going off on me, right? Like, it is just there, like a cloud, okay? And so when you have spent your whole life knowing that you were the mom you never had, okay, my perspective, my truth is I'm such a good mom. Like, I have loved these babies with everything I've had. And when they don't see it like that, it kills me. It guts me. But I've always been here. I've never pushed them off on anyone else. I've fought like hell for them. I have done all of these things, right? And so when you become the punching bag, it's heavy. And that's kind of how my week has been, of just like, I lost my freedom. I'm suddenly a punching bag, and Brandon's not the star of the show. And I don't know if you guys know, this is the Brandon show. Okay. I've always been the star of the show everywhere I go. And now that I'm a full-time parent again, like, it's not my reality. And I was very triggered all week. There were, you know, some comments about past things and comparing it to current choices I've made. And it was insane. I just sat with it. I didn't burn any bridges. I didn't freak out. I didn't run away. And there were a lot of times where I felt like going into my car and just driving until I ran out of gas. And then I don't know what I would have done after that. I just felt like I didn't want to look back. And I'm going to tell you guys that while these thoughts still come, while I still have these tough feelings, I'm still very present in this moment with gratitude, with love, with knowing like God is going to get me through this. I just have to get to that next moment where I can breathe, you know, getting the wind knocked out of you, and then trying to change my perspective, being able to see both sides of this, you know. And what is the truth? Yeah, some of my kids probably hate my guts right now, but there's going to be a point in time where they experience what it is to be a parent. And I think that their perspective will change a lot. And it's about being patient. It's about owning your power and knowing like you're doing a good job. You're doing the best you can with what you have, you know? but that shit still comes. Okay. So I'm just saying we don't avoid the arena. Something that microdosing has done for me is that I can go through these feelings. I can have this experience and I'm not searching for outside things. Like I didn't go get wasted this week because my emotions were spiraling and I wanted to escape. I didn't go, you know, drain our bank account, spending money on a bunch of shit to feel some kind of way. I stayed solid in who I was. And I'm going to tell you, it's microdosing. I'm going to get a little sciencey on you guys because of all of the negative connotations, you guys don't understand what this does for your body. So I'm going to reassure you, there is no high. It is just suddenly a different way of being. And I feel like, you know, at my core, it's brought me closer to God. I mean, He is the I am. Jesus is the I am. So every I am statement that you're making, you're calling that out. So either you are good, kind, patient, loving. Those are the things you own. Or you are feeling sorry for yourself and you're in the struggle and you're being attacked and all of these things. You own that power. You get to choose. And psilocybin helps me stay in that power of I am, where, you know, the whole paradox that is my life can exist, where two things can be true at the same time. I am still very present, very self-aware, very, you know, focused on my emotional maturity, my responses. I'm not reactive. Okay. I just sit with things. I sit with them. I'm like a little kid having a tantrum, but I understand like there's this part of me and that is the knowing. I think that is, you know, God's existence inside of me of just like knowing I can let myself feel the tantrum, right? That is, if I could describe this week, it is, yeah, mom looks cool and composed, but inside, like I'm kicking and screaming and crying and like freaking out so much so that, you know, I had to just let it happen. Like you have to let your kid throw a tantrum sometimes. They have big feelings. And it's about that awareness. I allowed myself to have the big feelings until I can rein it in and figure out, okay, what do I want? And being able to talk that out, you guys, you have to have a support system. Talking that out with my husband last night of like, you know, I have such high, hard expectations on how I dream and the expectations of how I expect all of this to turn out that like I'm burying myself. Okay. So we become our own worst enemy, right? But it is about like having that support of him just saying, look, this is where we are. Let's be here. Let's just be here. You're a mom. Let's be here, you know, and not, I mean, every time I go to the grocery store, like gas prices, grocery prices, all of that. Okay. It gets insane. And so I feel that pressure of like, I need to help contribute. Right. So I start steering off the path of really just being here and trusting what's going to happen. I try to control the narrative, control situations, control outcomes. And what happens is that I can see myself with that desire. I throw the tantrum. Psilocybin has reined me in, literally. And you guys, I'm going to tell you something. Normally I would have insane anxiety. Okay. Insane depression going through a week. Like I just went through, I never would have seen myself stay composed and handle it. Okay. I would have started a fight with someone. I would have made it about everything, but what was happening. But I stayed solid, you know, doing what I do, loving my family, showing up for them, doing the things. No matter what was happening, I had a very mature grown-up week with my actions. But all of this is because there's stuff happening in my brain because of my commitment to microdosing. Okay. So if we're going to talk a little bit about neuroplasticity, and that's one of my favorite things right now. We talk about neuroplasticity and I want to talk about that therapeutic role that psilocybin has, because talk therapy is shit. No matter how much I could have talked to anybody about what I was experiencing this week, if I wasn't microdosing, I would have reacted. I would have burned bridges down. I would have let my tantrum hurt other people. Okay. And that was cool. When you're 4 years old and you're kicking your feet and you're screaming, you're throwing a fit and someone is in your vicinity and they get kicked, it's not this kid trying to hurt you. Okay. They're reacting. Well, I'm not a 4-year-old anymore. This has helped me mature so that I could have the tantrum without fucking up anybody around me. But okay. So neuroplasticity, this is your brain's ability to reorganize and form new neural connections throughout your life. Okay. This phenomenon, it enables learning, We're talking about memory formation, recovery from brain injuries. Okay, this is just new shit. This is beyond even my emotional triggers or, you know, current realities of life. But psilocybin is a psychedelic compound that is found in the magic mushrooms, and it's getting so much attention right now because it has the potential to influence neuroplasticity. There was a point in time where, you know, scientists were like, you can never repair your brain. You know, if anything happens to you, you're just screwed for life. But the truth is, the brain has this remarkable ability to adapt and change in response to experiences, in response to environmental factors, and it's, you know, even injury. It involves structural and functional changes at the synaptic level. Okay. This allows the formation of new neural pathways. This is the important part that I want to tell you guys. You're not getting high. What's happening is that your brain is creating new conversations, new ways for thoughts and the chemicals in your brain to travel. Okay. So if you're someone who is experiencing insane anxiety, what's happening is that psilocybin is interacting with the serotonin receptors. Okay. It's called the 5-HT2A receptor. And to tell you guys a little bit about that, it's the serotonin 2A receptor. Okay. It's a subtype of serotonin receptors, literally, and it's found in your nervous system. So this is where your anxiety is fucking you up. This is where your depression is fucking you up. But those receptors are a key target for psilocybin. So it is leading to a cascade of cellular signal events. I hear footsteps. And it's influencing that neurotransmission. Okay. It's influencing the activity that is happening in your brain. And what happens when you're microdosing is that there's an activation of these receptors, and that plays the crucial role in altering your conscious experience. Okay. And that happens on a level of microdosing. You take a tiny bit of this and it is literally repairing your brain. It is working on the core. That's the heartbeat of your nervous system. Okay. Those receptors, your brain, that's the big kahuna. We want to protect your brain at all costs. Okay. And I think a lot of people take it for granted that we have that bad boy up there. You want to nurture it. You want to create an environment where it can flourish, where it can grow, not where it stays stagnant, not where it's just running on autopilot, where you're a fucking hamster in a wheel and anxiety is your new, you know, calling. Anxiety doesn't define you. That's not who you are. It's a thing. It's a thing that you've let get out of control. And I want to help rein that in. I want to help you understand that there is something that is natural, no side effects. Okay. Something that is really going to help you repair the damage that's been done and start that new conversation in your brain. There is a sense of like a slow tapping away. It's ego dissolution. Like it just takes you into this point of where you have total interconnectedness, where you feel like you're a part of everything and you don't have to trip balls or get high to experience that. It keeps you in this present moment. And even when, you know, I'm telling you, because no matter what, you're in the arena, right? Like the world is not going to pause and come at you and say, okay, what do we need to do? Everybody's not going to line up in the morning. You can't have a team meeting with everybody you're going to face throughout the day. And just say, hey, I need you to act a certain way that makes me feel really good. Okay. I need you to do this. And to make me feel good, I need you to do that. Everybody's doing their own fucking thing. Okay. That's out of your control, but what you can control is your response and how you react to that. So there's shitty things that are going to happen, but it's not happening to you. That's someone else's experience. And this is your chance to flex your new perspective. So this shit's happening. Not everything is going to feel great, but there is a way to stay in your power. And I feel like psilocybin does this. It does it because it is really making changes in your brain. It's not just a Band-Aid, okay? Antidepressants, anti-anxiety meds, all of that shit is a fucking Band-Aid. None of it is helping your brain. And the side effect list is astronomical. Okay. What's going to happen to you when you're just trying to put a Band-Aid on it is that you're going to continue to get physically sick because you're trapping feelings and emotions. psilocybin, once you start repairing those receptors, once you start, you know, getting into that therapeutic potential of psilocybin, you start to just be aware and you can feel these emotions without freaking out. Someone pisses you off, you can feel that without punching them in the face. You know, you just look at the whole situation. And I'm going to tell you guys, I have a neurodivergent brain. Okay. I don't need a fucking label. I don't need anybody to say, oh my God, you're this, this, and this. I'm not any of that. I just know that my brain is complex and multifaceted and amazing. Okay. I appreciate it, but it goes so much faster than the world can keep up. Okay. It just constantly goes fast. And for me to be able to nurture that, psilocybin like slows the world down for me. Like it brings everything to the perfect speed. So I'm not getting frustrated because people don't understand. I am seeing the perspective and it's like I match time now. Like time doesn't even exist is probably the best way I could define that. All of a sudden, I'm not run by the clock. I'm run by my existence and the choice that every time the sun comes up, my eyes open, I have another incredible chance to create a life I love, to show up as a person that I can be proud of, someone that I can look in the mirror and love. Okay. I get that chance. And it's not about like 6 o'clock, this has to happen or this, you know, I'm not run by outside things. I'm in the present moment, no matter what's coming. So when, you know, I'm brought to the awareness of time exists and I have to be here at a certain time, there's no like frantic, I'm not defined by that. It doesn't run my life. I'm like, oh, okay, let's go. Okay. It's just the power. It's a new way of being. And you're free from the shackles of all these things that you have thought defined you. And you no longer have a desire to reach outside of yourself. You suddenly just know. You know you've had the power within you your whole life. You know that you have, you know, the potential and the perspective, and that your real control is within how you're reacting to things. But it's knocking depression out of the park. It's helping people with PTSD. It's helping people who have an addiction to outside shit. It is getting rid of those rigid thought patterns. It is something that has fostered all of my emotional breakthroughs. It has enhanced my introspective insight. And this is long-lasting change. Okay. Long-lasting change where my new way of being is to understand I'm going to have shitty days. I'm going to have shitty moments. I'm going to have shitty weeks. And I'm still going to stay in the power of who I am. And I'm still going to stay focused and connected. And I can still, you know, facilitate a walk with Jesus. And I can still just experience things. I can still throw the tantrum without hurting anybody around me. And it's okay. I feel whole. I feel whole no matter who I feel like, you know, I'm being attacked by, or however you want to define that. I still feel whole. Like it is this unshakable power of like, I'm here. Even if, you know, I'm not out, you know, doing all these things in my freedom, I still am in my power here. I'm still in my element and I still have the potential every day to create what I define as happiness and joy. I still have the power to choose what comes next, to write my story. But if you're so stuck in that anxiety and allowing that to define you, if you're so stuck in that depression, you don't stand a chance. Psilocybin is going to modulate that neural connectivity. It's going to promote introspective experiences. It holds promise as the therapy you never knew you needed. It's literally changing the core of your issues. It is healing you. It's putting things together inside, the new connections. It's insane how beautiful the brain is. And I encourage you guys, like, start watching some videos on, you know, on YouTube, start doing your own research in your experience or other people's experience of how psilocybin has shown to light up the brain. And I'm going to share a couple of just testimonies with you guys. I'll try to run through them pretty fast because I don't just have my testimony, okay? There's a lot of other testimonies here that I can share with you guys. And I think it's important to know what other people are experiencing. So one person said, I just want to reach out and say, thank you. Not only did microdosing change the course of my life, but I see the change in the people around me because of it. This is what people choose to do if they want to feel better when they're feeling depressed or anxious. And you're going to start to see groups of people getting together to celebrate the power of what psilocybin is. You've got this lady who's under a bunch of pressure. She owns her own business and stress piles up literally to the point she wants to scream. Literally when she starts microdosing, it helped her release the bottled up feelings of anger that she spent, tons of time building in. She said she'd been locked down by her emotions her whole life until she started microdosing. And the release comes in waves. It just comes in waves. And there's no outside feeling of like altered consciousness. It's just a new knowing. A new knowing. There is a famous mom. I saw this on social media. This woman who owns multiple businesses, she consults for a lot of other people. Hundreds of thousands of people follow her on social media. So to say her life is full of pressure, that would be an understatement. So, she talks about her obsession, how it takes the stress off, the edge off of the stress and anger especially. It's a new feeling for her. She'd always been, naturally calm and never really felt that feeling of anger. And so it was part of the feeling that she had locked down. So, she's grateful for the experience to understand and get to know the feelings of those emotions. That's it. And it's not, always fun shit that we feel, but it's important that we do. Because you've got so many people walking around just letting rage build up inside of them. And that's how they end up being sick. It messes them up. We want the freedom for, to allow ourselves to feel those emotions. And this is what psilocybin does. I don't think there's ever going to be a point where I don't advocate for it. And the biggest truth is the change that it's made in my life. I don't have anybody that's taken it that I was like, Brandon, you ruined my life. Why would you have me try this? And I've got people that, have been sober for way longer than I have, who have, made massive changes in their life, who love that they have this experience to have a new way of showing up, a new way of being, not being reactive. It's like being able to just see your thoughts, and then you get to pick and choose the ones that you want to keep. So if we're creating our own reality, that's true. We get to paint the picture of what comes next in our life. If we're constantly picking and choosing the negative stories that our brain is going to create because of experiences, what's going to happen? Like, that's a bunch of negative blowback in our face. We want to be free to create a life that we love. And that means we're going to pick and choose the thoughts that make us feel good. And it is literally that simple. You get to pick and choose the thoughts. So they're still going to come. I don't think there's ever going to be a point where my brain doesn't try to say that I should think the worst of whatever. And who knows? I mean, maybe it's possible. I'm open to anything. But at least I know that doesn't control me anymore, that I don't have to run off with that story. I don't have to embellish. And I sure as hell don't have to ruminate on the bullshit. Okay. I pick the things that feel good to me. And that's how, no matter what I'm going through, at the end of the night, when I close my eyes, I still have that peace. I still have that understanding. I still have that knowing, even if my feelings are hurt a lot. Okay. So anyway, I love you guys. And if you are not signed up for my love letters, they come out at 2 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. That is my highest opened email that I've ever produced. Like, you guys are loving that. And it makes me so happy. Affirmations have always meant a lot to me. Always. And I'm learning that they don't mean shit unless you're really putting in the practice and, stepping into your purpose. So if you are reading them and you're not feeling massive changes, number one, you should probably start microdosing. And number two, just give it time. Give it time, because how old are you? How long have you been thinking bad thoughts? How long have you been, putting yourself through hell? that's a lot of damage to repair. It doesn't happen overnight. Okay. But what's exciting is that every day you open your eyes, you get that new chance. So let me love on you guys. 2 p.m. Eastern, that comes out at brandonlinette.com. You can sign up for emails. Make sure you guys are following, subscribe to this episode, and share this with a friend. I know we all know someone who is going fucking crazy. And I assure you guys, like, after one dose, you know, like, you're safe. Okay. This is not going to trigger your addictions. In fact, it probably makes it easier to stay sober. I know that's my truth. So, you never know unless you try. One dose, one tiny dose. You're not going to feel anything. Okay. You just have a new way of being. Your brain needs this. And listen, bitch, dream big. Life is too short to play small. Embrace who God called you to be. Own your shit and be brave as you step into your full potential as a co-creator. Until next time, love yourself in the moment, no matter how messy it is. Okay. You are fantastic. You are fucking beautiful. You are a badass. You're the magic. You're the magic. This is Brandon Lynette here, reminding you of your potential with a side of chaos. You are in the arena. Keep swinging.